What's up, everybody? Welcome to Kinda Funny Games Daily for Wednesday, May 23rd, 2018. Kevin was coming down real slow, so I started into the what a little too early, maybe. I don't know what's happening. What do you guys say?
I think you nailed it.
Did I nail it? Yeah. Okay. So is that mic up all the time now?
I have no idea. Okay. Cool, Greg. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
I guess it's up all the time. Okay. That's pretty cool.
As long as it doesn't pick up other stuff.
We have a new mic in the office
we put over there. Yeah. You might have seen other stuff. You'll definitely see it in a party emoji in first, but I'll talk about that later. I'm one of your hosts, Greg Miller, alongside Tim Geddes.
Let's talk about video games, Greg. I'm feeling good today.
There's a lot. It's a jam-packed
day.
Lots of stuff going on. You just got a new haircut.
I did. Fresh off the press.
You were fresh off the boat, right? But that was like, no, that doesn't work.
Fresh off the press.
Fresh off the press isn't a thing.
Yeah, it is.
No.
It is for newspapers.
Yeah, no, I know what a newspaper is. Yeah, I'm just saying.
This is news. It's news that I got my haircut.
I don't know.
This is a stretch. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
but we got there, ladies and gentlemen. I feel good about
it. Today's your Friday, right?
Today is my Friday.
Yeah.
Going to New Orleans. Start saying like that. Bachelor party.
Are you doing a Cajun encounter?
The fuck is that?
Cajun encounter. They'll take you through the swamp in a boat and you can see
alligators. No, we're not doing the swamp tour.
Okay.
Yeah, a lot of the guys are like, nah.
You just gonna drink?
Waste our time. Might get some beads. Might throw the beads.
I bet for sure James Burke is gonna get some beads.
James Burke.
He's gonna have a few drinks and he'll be covered in beads. If you didn't know, ladies and gentlemen, this is Kinda Funny Games Daily. Each and every weekday on a variety of platforms, we run you through the nerdy video game news you need to know about. If you like that, please be part of the show. Write into kindoffunny.com/KFGD with your questions, comments, bad PSN names, and everything else under the video game sun. Then watch us record it live, twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames. If you're watching us record it live, you have a special job. Go to kindoffunny.com/you'rewrong and tell us what we screw up as we screw it up so we can set the record straight for everybody watching later on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames or listening later on podcast services around the globe, including Spotify, iHeartRadio, and more. Housekeeping for you. E3 2018 is almost here. Remember, for each and every press conference, not that stupid PC one, we'll be doing pre-shows, post-shows, and live reactions as we go. So we'll be hanging out and doing that.
Greg,
yeah.
Does that include the Square Enix press conference?
Oh, you bet your ass. It's the Square Enix press conference. We're not going to miss that. We got to see what's happening with your Kingdom Hearts 3s.
Hell yeah.
What do they got?
Final Fantasy 7 Remake, Final Fantasy 16.
Yeah.
Final Fantasy 14, A Realm Reborn again.
You'll see a trailer for something there too. What you figure it'll be, you're for sure gonna get Kingdom Hearts,
mm-hmm.
for sure gonna get Tomb Raider.
Mm-hmm.
We assume there's another Just Cause thanks to Walmart.
Mm-hmm.
You'll get a trailer for Avengers, right?
It's after. No, it's not. Sony's is after Square.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We'll see. We're excited for all the
Microsoft
press conferences.
Is before
it
Square.
Is. What are you doing, Rocksteady? I think you're going to be there. Let me know. Pre-shows, post-shows. The post-shows will be Gamescast. They will go up, of course, as always, on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames as our reactions will go up there. Our post-shows will go up there, and you get the audio version of the post-show, too, by subscribing to your normal podcast feeds. Remember that this Friday, we're doing a prom stream for Kinda Funny Prom. Driving that home, going to play some Monster Prom, make some announcements. It'll be on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames all afternoon Friday. And then today, we're brought to you by Brooklyn and MeUndies, but I'll tell you about that later. For now, let's begin the show with what is and forever will be the Roper Report. Time for some news. 6 items on the Roper Report.
A baker's dozen.
Thank you, Cool Greg. Number 1, the Vita lives?
No.
No, it doesn't. It doesn't live at all. Mm-hmm. I'm going to read Brendan Sinclair's article from gamesindustry.biz. I'm reading the entire article because he did such a good job of putting so much context and stuff in here.
Meaning that you need to go there, Brendan,
and click on that link. Just to give him the view.
Give him a click.
I feel bad when I try to paraphrase or give little parts of it and encourage you to write, but he nailed it.
He nailed it.
I got to read the whole thing. Brendan writes, "The Vita may be dead, but Sony thinks the portable gaming market has life left in it."
I wonder why.
I'm about to tell you. I think, they're just reading the tea leaves. Like, nobody can, really understand why, mm-hmm. Portable game. According to a Bloomberg report, Sony Interactive Entertainment CEO John Kodera said in a roundtable interview in Tokyo today that the company is considering a number of paths forward in the field. Quote, "In my opinion, rather than separating portable gaming from consoles, it's necessary to continue thinking of it, parentheses portable gaming, as one method to deliver more gaming experiences and exploring what other customers want from portable. We want to think about many options." That suggests an about-face from the position of Kodera's predecessor, Andrew House. Last September, House dismissed suggestions that the success of the Nintendo Switch had changed the company's thinking on the portable market, saying, quote, "We have not seen handheld gaming outside of Japan as being a huge market opportunity." Sony's portable strategy of late has largely revolved around smartphones. Last year, the company introduced PlayLink, a line of PlayStation 4 games, and let players interact with them using their phones. And its ForwardWorks division has been creating mobile games since its inception 2 years ago. While Codera's comments could be interpreted as investing interest in having the next PlayStation console reproduce the hybrid functionality of the Switch, Codera said that it was, quote, not yet the right stage to discuss specific hardware plans. Of course, I'm not putting it in, but today I've seen it making the rounds again. People are like, oh man, PlayStation 5 is 3 years away. That's coming from a very similar article that came out yesterday that we talked about, where they were talking about PlayStation 4 life cycle starting to slow down and 2021 being the time they're crouching to until they go from there. So that's all part and parcel of the same thing. But this part from the Bloomberg is interesting.
Yeah.
What do you read away? What do you take away from them talking a little bit about there might be some juice left in portables?
I mean, I think it makes sense. I don't think they're going to act on this. I think this is them kind of even just testing the waters of investors and people being interested in it.
Yeah.
Obviously, the Switch has been a major success. How Sony can replicate that, I'm not quite sure.
Yeah.
Because I don't really think that the answer would be, oh, the PS5 is also portable. Like, PlayStation knows their place in the market involves being a powerhouse.
Right.
You know? And
beautiful graphics, screens. Like, you want it as big as possible.
Exactly. Yeah. And I don't necessarily see them kind of taking that step back, the Nintendo, the concessions that have to be made in order for the thing to be portable. However, some type of new Vita that is just a portable thing based on cloud streaming, based on something, we hope not. But like,
yeah.
I don't know. I'm sure that there's a lot of R&D going into it.
As always.
I'm sure that after the Switch, there's been a lot more.
Yeah.
Because there is a market there. And I feel not only is there a portable market, I feel that the Switch is introducing console gamers to the portable side that might have not been interested before from Game Boys or PSPs or whatever. But the fact that you can take the Switch wherever, they're like, oh, I do now enjoy playing games in public.
In public, yeah.
On the go.
No, I think if anything, it's interesting for Codera to be like, hey, let's walk back what Andy House said, right? Like, that made it sound like we thought portable gaming was dead and gone for us, but it's not. We're still looking at all options are on the table. And I think, you know, again, for a shout out to Brendan, bringing in and talking about with smartphones really seems to be what they've been driving at lately is a great point. I saw so many people jumping to the conclusion that this meant maybe there's still life for Vita, maybe it was life for another PSP type device. Sure, that's possible, but I do think, honestly, smartphones is probably more of what they're looking at and how they can do that.
Yeah. This is one of the things I highly doubt we're going to see another PlayStation portable system, whatever it's called, in the next 5 years.
I agree with that.
Who knows what happens after that.
Right.
But I think that with where technology's at, I think PlayStation 5 and PSVR 2 is more likely.
PSVR 2, that's an interesting one of like what that actually looks like anymore with... We talked about it yesterday, right? The PlayStation VR or the VR marketplace in general, but from Sony's own mouth saying it's underperforming. It's not where they thought it would be, right? However, you know, today an embargo just lifted for a whole bunch of PlayStation VR games out of Judges Week. So they're still making a push for that, and I'm glad to see that.
Now I'm going to throw something out.
Throw it out.
It's crazy. And I know I just said, oh, technology's not there for
the
PS5 to be portable.
It's your final day here of the week. Get crazy.
I don't think that the technology will be there anytime soon to be able to do this properly. But what if, Greg, what if
I'm listening.
They managed to get PSVR 2, whatever it's called, to a much more portable form?
No
that
wires.
Then becomes the portable system.
No, impossible. No. I mean, what, you're going to be putting that VR headset on your head on a plane?
Mm-hmm.
No way. No.
At some point in the future, that will be the case. When that happens,
for PlayStation or for in general?
In general.
Because like you already have Gear VR that you can do that with, right? Yeah. Or the ones where you put your phone in it. And
yeah,
like you
but have I'm saying like I think that there will come a point where that becomes a little bit more normalized.
Hmm.
I mean, not everyone had smartphones until they did.
I don't know, though. I mean, granted, I know that like we're still talking about the baby steps of VR, but I feel we're so far off for where somebody feels comfortable wearing that in public and just chilling. You know what I mean? Like I always tell this story of our friend from the industry where I was coming back from South by Southwest. I went to the bathroom, came back to sit down next to him. And he was wearing one of the headsets. I'm like, dude, you gotta take that off.
Yeah.
You can't just be chilling here. Not to mention like you're in an airport. People can steal your stuff. That's a big problem.
Yeah.
Darshell apparently keeps getting her Switch stolen. I read about it on the internet. I don't even know how that happens. How you let any of your babies out of your sight like that, but I digress.
I lost mine in an Uber once.
You found it, though.
I got it back.
Yeah. Now, speaking of the Switch, portable and all that jazz, number two is straight out of Japan. Joe Screbbles at IGN, yes, that's a made-up name, says there's a dockless Switch coming. Nintendo Japan has announced a new, cheaper Switch bundle that only includes the base unit, two Joy-Cons, and wrist straps. Detailed on the Nintendo Japan website, the handheld-focused bundle comes in at 5,000 yen, which is about 45 U.S. dollars.
Cheaper, $45 cheaper.
Thank you. Well, yeah, I got caught up right there.
There's no way
it's
45.
Right.
It's 45 cheaper.
There you go. $45 cheaper than the original Switch bundle. Missing from the original bundle are the dock, Joy-Con grip, HDMI cable, and power/charging cable. That's the interesting one. Nintendo's calling the new bundle a second set, specifically for households that already have a Switch and its TV-focused accessories. Nintendo UK later provided IGN with this statement, quote, this is in Japan only. We have no plans to release this in our region. This is, of course, a UK IGN article. Different regions make different decisions based on a variety of factors. I'm going to just toss it right to our good friend Zyger, who wrote in to kindoffunny.com/KFGD and said, with the announcement of a dockless Nintendo Switch coming out in Japan, do you think Nintendo is stepping away from the quote-unquote it's a console mindset and moving over toward the handheld hybrid everyone thinks of it as? Could this also be a good indication that Pokemon Switch will happen sooner rather than later? Pokemon had traditionally been a handheld series, and lowering the bar of entry on one of Nintendo's biggest IP seems like a smart idea. I personally have only ever used my dock twice, and if I could have saved $50 by not having it, I would have, especially for Pokemon. Love you all, your boy Zyger. What do you think?
A lot of salient points there, Greg.
Yeah.
You've been gone Judges Week and other events over the last couple months,
sure.
But Jared and I have talked about this quite a bit.
The Reverend Jared Payne.
Yeah. And something that we keep talking back and falling back on is the fact that Nintendo, for the first couple years of Switch's life cycle, has really pushed as it's a home console.
This is a console that you can also take on the go.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And then the 3DS was it's portable, and they're trying to say that they're different ecosystems and all that. There will come a convergence point where Nintendo no longer calls it a home console, or they do, but they also are like, but it's a portable as well.
Yeah.
And I feel like they need to do that because they know that families buy multiple 3DSs. The older sister has one, the younger brother gets one down the line as you go. What game is best for that? Pokemon. Once Pokemon is on this thing, it is going to be seen as a handheld device to a lot of people. And I feel like there will be many families that are buying their second Switch.
Mm-hmm.
So this is a great way to introduce that. Is this one step closer to my bet against Jared Patty that there will be eventually be a Joy-Con-less portable-only Switch? Yeah, definitely. Is it that big of a step towards that? No. I don't think so. I think that this is just, right now it's only on Nintendo's Japan website.
Yeah.
Which they've already sold a bunch of weird things like just the dock or things like that.
Yeah.
I don't think that this is going to be, it might make its way to the American website eventually. I don't think it's going to be a big pomp and circumstance type situation.
Right.
And I think that eventually we will see a bundle of this type of Switch with Pokemon or with games like that.
See, I don't.
Animal
here's
Crossing.
My thing. Here's my thing. Is I buy the Nintendo line that, you know, that this is. Let me dial it back, I guess, altogether. For me, looking at this, right, missing from the bundle are the dock, of course, who cares? Joy-Con grips, of course, who cares? HDMI cable, yeah, I have a million of them. Power charging cable. The fact that this doesn't come with power, to me, totally makes me buy the fact that, yep, this is a second set specifically for houses that already have a Switch. Like,
no, Greg.
Yeah.
You know, what if I told you that many of the DS and 3DS systems also didn't come with a power
cable? That's true. I do remember buying my 3DS, whatever the fuck, XL was it that didn't come with? One of them, one of the many Nintendo DS family products I had, I remember not having a power plug. Me, like, that's weird.
Yep.
This one I feels weird, and I feel like bundling a game with it's weird as well, because if it is, this is your secondary console, shouldn't it come with two?
Two what?
Two Sorry. Copies of the game. For what you're saying, people buy multiple 3DSs for everybody to play Pokemon. Why wouldn't it be like, cool, here's your Pokemon bundle for this powerless Switch. We're giving you two so you can have it on your primary. Or you want the one you already have in this new
one. I mean, with Pokemon, there's definitely a possibility that it would come bundled with both Pokemon versions.
Yeah.
So that would be an option. But I also just think it's a good way to get people in. Like again, the little sister that wants to play as well.
Yeah.
You already have a Switch, buy one copy of Pokemon, you buy this bundle that has another one
yeah.
for them so they can play together, trade, and all that stuff.
Okay.
Yeah, it's interesting stuff here, Greg.
It's interesting.
And do I think that this relates? Does this show that Pokemon's come in 2018? At this point, I firmly believe it.
Yeah. Are you still saying E3 we get the announcement of Red and Blue 2?
I mean, everything's pointing to it being before E3. So I'm going to be really surprised.
Running out of days.
Yeah, we are. But I'm going to be really surprised if we first time we officially hear about Pokemon Switch is E3.
Huh.
I think it'd be cool. I kind of want that to be the case.
Huh. Okay. I don't feel like this is them pivoting to being more of a handheld thing.
I think it's the baby steps towards.
Okay.
They will. Like it's gonna end up happening.
Yeah. I mean, that's I think majority of people use their Switches.
I thought it was
so weird when I brought home Garage the other day and I played it on the TV. I was like, this is a quirky thing. Why?
Yeah.
This is weird. I love it, man.
I've been playing Donkey Kong Tropical Freeze again, and you know, just being able to play portably and then just play.
I love that too. Yeah.
It's
no,
so
no,
cool.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't know. I mean, they know that. They need to sell multiple systems to a household.
Yeah.
And portable is the right
way. And they're
already
seeing
that,
right, with their online plan of tossing in a very cheap version that goes up to what? Is it 6 or 7 people? 8 people? Let me just look at that. I don't even need kindoffunny.com/wrong. I got Tim Gettys. Number 3, Red Dead ain't getting delayed again. This is according to an article over at GameSpot from our boy Eddie. Speaking to CNBC's Jim Cramer, Take-Two Interactive CEO Strauss Zelnick said he is confident the PlayStation 4 and Xbox One Western will actually come out on October 26th. Quote, hand on heart, it will come out then, Zelnick said. Asked about this again, Zelnick said the 1,000 or so people working on the game across Rockstar Studios are committed to getting the game out on time. Quote, when I said hand on heart, it's over 1,000 people at Rockstar Games with their hands on their hearts, he said.
Awesome.
Just, I mean, don't get me wrong, it's lip service, right? He said something very similar when it was, it's not going to get delayed out of the first part when it was, it had a, you know, a window and then it got delayed to here. So who knows, but they're trying. And also interesting, 1,000 people working on it. Number 4, take this with a grain of salt, of course. Xbox's E3 conference looks like it's going to be 2 hours long. Saw this over on Reset Era via Raichu. Over there on the Xbox thing, their whole thing about E3, you can add it to your Google calendar or whatever, your Outlook calendar. And when you do, it puts into a 2-hour slot. As Raichu points out in the post, this means the conference will be about 18 minutes longer than last year, which was 1 hour and 42 minutes, of which the first 10 minutes was the Xbox One X reveal.
Important note.
Lay it on me.
Last year, when you did the calendar, it also put it as 2 hours.
Yeah.
So,
and I think I always feel like that's just we're blocking this out.
So this doesn't necessarily mean anything. But what it does mean is we can assume that we'll get at least or around what we got last year,
I would think,
which is a lot.
For me, what it would mean, I would think, is you're getting more than an hour and a half.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because Google Calendar makes it so awkward of trying to put in
15 minute
increments, which sucks. So it's like, I would say, yeah, you're getting more.
Love it, man.
That's awesome.
Bring the fucking
me?
Hype. The conferences have gotten so good the last couple of years of trimming the fat as much as possible. And if Microsoft's conference last year is anything to go off, like, man, it's just going to be jam-packed.
Yeah.
Hour and 40 minutes of just boom, 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 boom. And this year, I keep saying it, but I'm expecting Microsoft conference to, like, bring the heat.
Yeah. I don't think you've been on the show with me where we've talked about the PlayStation conference.
Yeah.
Like, where's your head at with them saying we're focusing on these 4 first party things? Of course we'll have third party. Of course we'll have indies.
It's very weird to me because it kind of deflates the hype a bit where I'm like, oh, we know that those things are coming. On the other side, I'm like, there's a lot of hype there where, like, oh, we know that Last of Us 2 is going to be there. We know that Death Stranding is going to be there because those are the type of things that if we were to get to our predictions episode,
which we will, that is coming
next week.
I see more people
next week.
Gamescast.
On Gamescast, we would talk about, like, what's the chances of Death Stranding be there? We wouldn't all be sure that it's going to happen, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So then to get ahead of it and be like, it is going to be there, I'm like, all right. So does that mean that you have things even bigger that are going to be surprises? Or does that mean that you're trying to, like, set the expectations like Nintendo does a lot with its directs of, like, we're focusing on this game and that's it? And are we just going to get a bunch of third party announcements? I don't know. Like, it's weird that they've done this. They haven't done it before.
That's the most surprising thing, anyone
has ever done something before where the biggest games that are questions of will they be there or not, where they just straight up say, yeah, they will.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I hope that it's, I hope that it isn't the same level of disappointment that PSX was last year compared to the PSX the year before.
Gotcha. I see. That's my thing. Is I don't think that's when people saw Showcase. Mm-hmm. So many people freaked out thinking it was going to be like PSX. I do not think it's going to be like PSX, where it's them talking and having sit, which I liked, but obviously was very different than a PSX press conference. I think it's going to be here are four deep dives on these first party games we want you to know about. We want you know this mm-hmm. thing. Here's this exciting thing from our partner over Capcom or whoever. Here's you know this indie thing we're doing. I think it's going to flow and feel like an E3 press conference.
Yeah, cool. Me too. And I hope, but I mean even then, even if it does, I still hope that it doesn't feel neutered.
Yeah.
Compared to Sony's last couple of years. But with all this news, everything's adding up that we're heading towards the end of the PS4.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So how many new games can they announce? I feel like this type of announcement is them getting ahead of it and being like, yo, PlayStation 4 has some fucking heat coming soon.
It's got some bangers.
And for the next year. So we're going to focus on that. Like these are the games that are going to end your PlayStation 4's life. Right?
We got
Spider-Man. We got Ghost of Tsushima.
Tsushima. That's food.
Whatever. Yeah, and so and Last of Us and Death Stranding. And so
Boo
that's a lot.
Of King. Oh, actually, no, Boof King writes in to kindoffunny.com/KFGD and says, hey, Greg and Tim. Long time, first time. With recent news of Sony sunsetting the PlayStation 4, I can't help but think, could Death Stranding be a PlayStation 5 launch title? I can't see Sony announcing anything until they have announced a date for The Last of Us Part 2, which would make me think that the last generation Last of Us will be a cross... Make me think that, like last generation, Last of Us will be a cross-generation release or early release into the PlayStation 5 launch. Ghost of Tsushima and... Last of Us Part 2. That's a weird way to put it. Could be sunsetting for the PlayStation 4 and Death Stranding launching the PlayStation 5, just continuing Sony's dominance on the exclusive end, as well as making up for the poor PlayStation 4 exclusive launch that was The Order 1886. Bit long. Sorry, guys. Be cool to hear your thoughts. Also, I can't remember Sony saying Death Stranding was PlayStation 4. They have said PlayStation 4 for sure. They have confirmed that because that was a rumor early on of like, well, Kojima's making this game, and when the fuck's this going to be out?
Have they?
Fairly certain, but kindoffunny.com.
Yeah, let us know, because I can't remember any time that specifically stated PS4.
Okay.
But please let us know about that.
Did I even ask Kojima in that Australian interview?
Maybe.
I thought.
I don't know. Somebody watched the whole 60 minutes and let us know.
It was 2 hours. Thank you very much. But, you know,
well, with translation.
Really good. Well, you know,
60 minutes
like
of content.
You're saying 20 of content, but it was really good.
I think that The Last of Us, it would be an interesting thing. I think it will be like last gen, where the game comes out on one generation and then there's a remaster or whatever on the next. Although I don't know what PS5 is going to be. Like, are they going to have some type of Game Pass situation? Are they going to have some type of backwards compatibility
if they're smart,
out the gate?
So.
And where we're at, I think it's safe to assume that they will
have
the backwards compatibility.
Now, of course, I for sure was like, PlayStation 4 will run PSN games from the PlayStation 3.
Yep.
Are you kidding me?
But I just think we're in a different place now,
yeah,
especially with where Xbox is at. So... I can imagine something there. Death Stranding, I think, is the more interesting one. It's... I can see a Breath of the Wild style release where it's on PS3 and PS4 and PS5 at the same time.
Fuck yes.
Yeah.
Kindoffunny.com/you're wrong. Zyger says during Greg's interview at RTX with Hideo Kojima, Kojima said it will be on PlayStation 4.
There you 4. Go. There
Lord
you
of
go.
Pwn says, yeah, it is confirmed from PlayStation 4. The PlayStation 4 logo is on their trailers and posters.
Awesome. Yeah, so I can see Death Stranding kind of being a Breath of the Wild style thing. And it's when you look at console launches, everybody always complains about like, oh, there's not that killer app. It's like, well, gone are the days of Super Mario 64
Super Mario World.
And all of that. And I feel like, you know, as we go, the launches are more kind of stacked with the third party event titles by year, like the annualized games. And like, you know, Halo 1, right, launching with the Xbox. It's like, you need that the market to be there, like enough people to have the consoles to be able to sell these like big tentpole games. But then it also works the other way, where you need big tentpole games to sell the consoles. So I don't know where we're at, but when you look at the last couple generations, Breath of the Wild's probably the closest thing we had to like a killer app at launch.
Yeah, I think early on, I remember making predictions and jokes that Death Stranding would be a PlayStation 5 title. I hold strong that Death Stranding will be 2020. And I think the fact that they're talking about this March 2021 business for really crouching down and getting, I think March 2021 is when they do their event, or that part of spring 2021 is when they do their event for PlayStation 5 and then release it probably in the fall, which I think is far out. But this is just based now on what they're saying. Mm-hmm. But also in the way it seems like the exclusives are going to fall.
Yeah.
I think what we've seen so far and what we know are all PlayStation 4 exclusives. And I think, yes, if there isn't a backwards compatibility, if there isn't some weird thing, there will be Last of Us Part 2 remastered, Death Stranding remastered, or some kind of thing. I don't think it'll be day and date. I don't think it'll be exactly a Breath of the Wild situation. Mm-hmm. I think it'll be that you get in there. But I also think the fact that we know this window of exclusives, so we know Naughty Dog, we know Sucker Punch, we know Kojima through this deal. When you talk about other first parties that we have put out their games, your Gorillas and stuff, makes me start really wondering, or not even wondering. I think that that's where they're working. I think when you're talking, you want to talk about a PlayStation 5 launch lineup, Horizon 2.
Yeah.
We've been working on Horizon 1 Dawn, and here it is for you to see. And they come out and show, I mean, like that alone, right? If you launched with that,
yeah,
I think everybody would be like, what the fuck? Yes, no, I'm all in.
That'd be killer. The one thing that makes me kind of lean towards Death Stranding being day and date on both is more so than any person in team I've ever seen. Kojima killed it with cross-generation with Metal Gear Solid 5. Like, that game happened on PS3 and PS4 and looked fucking fantastic.
That's a great point.
On the last gen.
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
Like, that's crazy. So, they that team and the people that they're working with, I know, obviously, it's been blown up and turned into a bunch of things, but I feel like they would be able to make it work in two
interesting
places.
Interesting argument. I like that.
I have a question for you. I know we're going long on this.
Who cares,
stuff,
man? It's our show. We can do whatever we want.
I'm interested. Do you think that these games that we know that are going to be at Sony's press conference,
yeah,
that the big four, are they the last big exclusives on the PlayStation 4? Or are we going to get, whether it's this E3 or sometime after, a Horizon 2 announcement or something else?
The Horizon 2 thing I just mentioned for PlayStation 5 was totally off, you know, mm-hmm, just something I shot out there. But I don't think it's crazy. I think these are... And you're talking about first-party exclusives?
That's the thing, is obviously I imagine we'll hear what Blue Point's new remake thing is, and like we'll get like a Shadow of Colossus-esque title,
yeah, yeah.
And like that's fine and that's great, but I'm talking the Detroit-level game,
I think that these are the final ones, which gets interesting because then I always have to write it out because I'm so stupid and Nick refuses to let me have a chalkboard wall. But you figure it's 2018 now. So we have these games here, 2019, 2020, and 2021, right? I'm going to say then, looking at this, right, we have the exclusives then planned for 2018, but then 2019, are we talking about the same games, right? Is there not going to be one more new exclusive to put in there? Something, because they'll get their lunch eaten if they come back, because they won't even have the same one. Oh, Spider-Man will be out, obviously, mm-hmm, right, for sure.
Yeah.
And so then it's like, what are we talking about at E3 2019? Then, you know what? No, that's too much. I want to walk it back. Are we talking about PS5 at 2020 E3?
I mean, my thing is, are we talking about PS5 at 2019 at this rate?
But for that, well, then we have to get into them talking about they're winding it down so they can get ready for this March 2021.
Mm-hmm.
What does that mean exactly? In terms of, yeah, is it, because that could easily be, so for what you're arguing, right, is that, all right, there's this, there's 2019 E3 where maybe you, see, I think, 2019, I say we do not get the PlayStation 5. And this is based... Now I'm just going off this March 2021 thing, right? 2019 is just more games. 2020 could be the PlayStation 5. We're doing it. We're releasing it in the fall. And then March 2021 is... Cool, we're out of the crouch. We're starting to move on this. Because like you're saying, it is usually... Cool, it's a slow build. You put out a console and there's the third-party stuff. And then you slowly start getting exclusives.
Mm-hmm.
And then it took... PlayStation a few years, right, for PlayStation 4 to really get, hey, here's some great shit. And then,
but then now
it's
we're
just
getting 3-4 a year,
right? Yeah.
I can't see them wanting to let up on that.
Me neither. And that's why I think
God of War 2 is somewhere in there
on PlayStation 5. Yeah,
yeah. But I mean,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
I mean, unless it's really late in PS4.
I mean, they did that with PS2.
Yeah.
What we're doing right now, it is semantical, obviously, and the real argument will be backwards compatibility.
Mm-hmm.
If this thing is just like, hey, guess what? We're putting out the PlayStation 5. There will be games you can only play on PlayStation 5, but it plays everything on the PlayStation 4. Then suddenly it's just cool, it's God of War 2, it's Death Stranding, it's whatever, enhanced for PlayStation 5. Where, you know, it does more than the Pro could even do.
Mm-hmm.
And they've already shown they can do that and not have major drawbacks we were worried about. Mm-hmm. If that's what it is, then who fucking cares? It doesn't matter anymore.
It's getting interesting, man. I'm liking it. It's a good fascinating. Good time to be alive.
Exactly. Now, here, you want to talk about a good time to be alive.
Yes, this
jogged my memory is something that happened on the morning show. That you can't say anything when you read this.
Okay.
I think you'll be able to put it to, I mean, I'll do it this way, right? So that's who's texting me. Okay. And then this is what they said. Right?
Awesome.
I didn't know that was happening, so that's really cool. Sorry, everybody. Number 5 on the Roper Report. Sunset Overdrive on PC has been rated in Korea. This is via Sal Romano over at Gamatsu. The Korean Game Rating Board has rated Sunset Overdrive, which first launched for Xbox One in October 2014, for PC. A PC version of the Microsoft-published Insomniac-developed open-world action-adventure game has yet to be announced. So, Sunset Overdrive never made it to PC. However, it might be now. Of course, we love Insomniac. We love Sunset Overdrive. From what I played in preview events, I never got around to playing it on Xbox One for full disclosure. Because, just whatever. I know a lot of people liked it and stuff. I was just like, it's cool from what I played. I need to play more of it. Number 6, NPD numbers are starting to trickle in. Over at gamesindustry.biz, James Batchelor says this about PlayStation. Software sales also saw a boost, with Sony setting yet another new record for April in terms of dollars. Games for PlayStation 4 brought in the highest amount since the Xbox 360 in April 2008, the month that Grand Theft Auto 4 was released. PlayStation's success this month can mostly be attributed to the return of Kratos in the revived God of War. Not only was this the best-selling game of the month, it also was the best launch ever for a PlayStation exclusive, again in terms of dollar sales.
Beating out GTA San Andreas on the PlayStation 2.
Goddamn. Kratos also conquered hardware. The PlayStation 4 Pro 1TB limited edition God of War bundle placing as the best-selling hardware for the month in terms of dollars. It was beaten in unit sales by the Nintendo Switch 32GB with neon red / blue Joy-Cons. PlayStation even dominated the accessory category, with the PlayStation 4 Black DualShock controller the best-selling peripheral of the month and year-to-date. It is now the best-selling gamepad of all time in terms of dollar sales. That, I thought, was crazy when you stop to think about how many. And I guess that I'm not sitting here as an analytical person. I'm just thinking now as Greg Miller. How many DualShocks I own, and DualShocks in general I owned. How many Wii remotes I owned. How many N64 colored Joy-Con or controllers. Fuck you, Nintendo. Ruining my joysticks I had. Like, for the PlayStation 4 controller now to be the best-selling gamepad of all time in terms of dollar sales. Wow.
Yeah.
Granted, it's expensive. That's why they're saying dollar sales, right? Yeah. It is expensive, so it's not, you know, units or whatever, but more power to them.
Fucking cool, man.
That's what happens when you sell 79 million PlayStation
4s. Weird how they separate hardware in, like, specifically the PS4 Pro 1TB limited edition God of War bundle is a thing, and then the Nintendo Switch 32GB with neon red and blue Joy-Cons, like I said, instead of just PS4 Pro and Switch.
Hey, man, that's what you get with your NPD numbers, right? Gamesindustry.biz. James Batchelor, he's going to break it down for
break
me.
It down.
He's not going to sit there and do it. Tim?
Yeah.
I'm excited for the top 10 NPD games to be revealed eventually, but you have to wait a few days usually before that happens. So there's just a lot to wait for. Mm-hmm. But what I don't have to wait for is to find what came to the digital mom and grop shops if I wanted to know where to go!
The official list of upcoming software across each and every platform is listed by the Kind of Funny Games Daily Show host each and every weekday.
Yeah. As it's a Wednesday, very quiet on what came out, but lots of new dates for you. Out today, this is straight from Rockstar, starting today through Memorial Day 5/28. There will be 4 major ways to earn double GTA money and RP in GTA Online. Motor Wars, Bikers, Executives, and Other Criminals, and the latest adversary mode, Trapdoor. They send these all the time every week. I rarely go into them, but I want to call them out. So if you're a GTA Online player, you can now go find out what the fuck all that means. All right? Yeah. You can get more experience and stuff and have fun. So go do that. New dates for you. Banner Saga 2 is coming to Switch June 7th, 2018. 20XX, a game I feel like I've been seeing at PAXes for the last decade.
Oh my God, yeah.
Is coming to Switch, PlayStation 4, and Xbox One on July 10th. Congratulations to them. Icons Combat Arena brings high-energy slugfest to the masses on July 12th. Steam Early Access. Yes, I copied right out of the press release. Everybody, sit down when I read this one to you. Because you think out of all the games you can't make in 2018,
damn.
Here you go. Leisure Suit Larry, Wet Dreams Don't Dry, is developed by the German studio Crazy Bunch from Hamburg and will be released in fall 2018 on PC and Mac.
Wet Dreams.
Jesus Christ. Wait for the op-eds on that. And then, very exciting, titillating information here. Friday the 13th, the game's single-player challenge update releases for all players at no additional charge on May 24th, 2018. New content and features include Counselor Victoria Sterling, Jason Part 7 Rebalance, new skins for Roy, upgraded Jason Grab, Jason Weapon Selection, PC Keybinding, AI improvements, and more, including that new engine we've all been waiting for. So congratulations there. I will be working my hardest to get Joey Noel on the prom stream to stop playing Monster Prom and let me play Friday the 13th. Because they're kind of the same.
Mm-hmm.
Proms, we can do the prom first, then the after parties at Crystal Lake. You know what I mean?
Dude.
People think they're going to go get fucked,
gotta get
but they're
going to
get
Friday.
Fucked by Jason. Deals of the day for you. There's an extended play sale on PSN. You can get 50 to 60% off select PSN titles. It ends on May 29th. And then over on Xbox One, ID at Xbox Game Fest is kicked off. This is a bunch of Summer of Arcade titles and spiritual successors that have been discounted 20 to 80%. Games include Bastion, Limbo, Braid, and more.
The classics.
Some great stuff in there. For sure, get in there if you like cool indie games. Now, Tim?
Yes.
It's time for Reader Mail.
Hell yeah.
But first, I'm going to tell you it's brought to you by two sponsors. First, Brook Linen. I don't know how many times I got to say this, Tim. Brooklyn is awesome.
Mm-hmm.
You sleep on them every night now. Porty sleeps on them every night. Jen sleeps on them every night. You go to Brooklyn, you get great sheets. You get them cheap. You go there, you click around, you see the different color profiles. You can mix and match to any decor. Ooh. And here's the best part. They're cheap. Not in quality, in the dollar amount.
Yes, I love the quality. I like how firm they are. Because sheets sometimes, I'm a little picky about them.
Sure.
These are perfect.
You? Oh,
and I know, who would have thought? Yeah. The pillowcases, though?
Yeah, I'm serious. I love my Brooklyn and stuff. I like them a lot. And here's what I was saying yesterday. I'll continue to say it. Guess what? You out there listening or watching right now, you need new sheets. You don't
Very
think
true.
You do. You don't think you do, but you do.
You do.
Because how many sheet sets you got? One, two? You want some rotation, and you need to throw one of them away. You keep them way too long. Mm. I did this myself for a long time, but now Brooklyn can save the day. Get $20 off in free shipping when you use promo code GAMES at brooklinen.com. Brooklyn is so confident that they offer a risk-free 60-night satisfaction guarantee and a lifetime warranty on all their sheets and comforters. The only way to get $20 off in free shipping is to use promo code GAMES at brooklinen.com. That's brooklinen.com. Promo code GAMES. Brooklyn. These are the best sheets ever.
Best sheets ever.
Next up, MeUndies.
Ooh.
I don't know how many times I got to do this in the show either. Yeah. I know, and I thought today of which ones I was wearing when I put them on, so I'd be ready today. What I'm wearing? Oh, you're wearing the tiger stripe ones. I like those a lot. I'm wearing polka dots. Yeah, there they are. You see? I wear MeUndies each and every day.
I like those too.
Why? They're super soft. They're super comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
They get shipped right to
mm-hmm.
you. You don't have to worry. Guess what I hate doing? Going to the store. Guess what MeUndies says? You don't have to go to the store.
We'll
ship them to you in a fun little bag.
Yeah.
You'll be like, great, there it is, underwear.
And they're expanding their options now. Now they got socks. Now they got the MeUndies with the hole.
Oh, yeah, they got the flap now if you want
the flap. They got the flap if you want the flap. I live in a post-flap world.
I
Greg.
Do, too.
I'm happy about that.
And I don't think this covers any of that stuff. Okay? I don't think it covers socks, to be clear.
Just go to the website. Go check it out.
Yeah, go to MeUndies.com. You can get 20% off your first pair of MeUndies, free shipping, and 100% satisfaction guarantee.
Mm-hmm.
Go to MeUndies.com/gamesdaily. That's MeUndies.com/gamesdaily. Put your parts in a thing. They don't have a tagline.
MeUndies, a better way to undie.
A better way to have your parts held together and doing your thing there. Let's see what I got going on here now. I don't want to do that one. I already talked about Friday the 13th. Hopefully, like I said, Joey Noel will give up this dream of Monster Prom, and we can just kill people on Friday, but we will see. Here, I'm going to go to Mr. Bump.
Mr. Bump.
Mr. Bump writes into kindoffunny.com/KFGD and says, Kia Ora again, kind of funny. With all the hype around Smash going into E3, I've been on the forums and message boards to get psyched. However, I've found a common theme across the boards. It seems that no one wants the game to be like Smash 4. I, for one, loved that game, and think it's the best, most accessible game in the series. Is this a common thought, or is the internet just circle-jerking through their rose-tinted glasses at Melee? I know I loved that game back in the day, but I feel the series has moved on to bigger and better things. Cheers for you and your thoughts. Keep making sweet, gentle love to that chicken, Mr. Bump.
You're a wise man, Mr. Bump. I feel like
Smash 4 is the Wii U one?
You said. Yes.
Okay.
I think you're right. There is a lot of rose-tinted nostalgia glasses circle jerking going on when it comes to people's thoughts in the game. The thing is, I feel overall Brawl is the one that gets a lot of the heat. for the tripping, and for the much slower gameplay compared to Melee. Everybody loves Melee. That will never change. Melee will never be matched again.
Melee was GameCube.
Yes.
Okay.
Melee is like the Star Wars original trilogy. There could be good Star Wars movies that come out. They'll never be that.
Gotcha.
They can't be that. They can be really good. Be really okay. Yeah. But they could be really good. And I think that Smash 4 is an example of that. Smash 4, I'd say, is very similar to Force Awakens in this analogy, where it's like, it is good. It's really good. It kind of just takes a lot of the same things we know, but it does a really good job putting it all together in one package. 4 was faster than Brawl, not quite as fast as Melee. I think that this next Smash that we're going to get, I would assume it's going to be a little closer to Melee than 4 was, okay, but still not exactly Melee, and I think that's a good thing. The Smash community, a lot of them moved from Melee to Smash 4. A lot of them did both. A lot of them stayed in Melee. But Smash 4 was the first time in forever, since 2001, that the Smash community was divided and was like, we're going to move on and we're going to adopt this. And there's a huge Smash 4 competitive scene. So I think that Sakurai's watching this, and obviously Nintendo and all of them want Smash to be a big esport. So they got to pay attention to that shit.
For you, I need your input here, because again, I know I like Smash. Obviously, I play it when we were out there. I'm very excited for this new Smash. How different is this run up to this Smash going to be in terms of what it has been in the past? Because what the marketing machine, or like Zachariah putting out these an update every day, like how long was he doing that before, and what would that be now if it's actually going to come in September?
So I could be wrong about some of this.
Kind of funny. Special.
But Smash 64 came out, right? Everybody loved it.
Amazing.
3 years later, they debuted Melee at E3. There's a super epic video if you go on YouTube and type in Melee E3 reveal or whatever, and just people losing their fucking minds. But in that trailer, they showed off a lot of the new characters that were going to be in Melee, and that game ended up coming out months later.
Okay.
So it was just like, boom, there's not much marketing there.
Gotcha.
When we get to Brawl, that was one where they did the Japan time thing, where every weeknight they revealed something about the game. Some nights it would be a new character. Ike is coming to Brawl. Other nights it would be like, here's a Pokeball. Here's how it works. And it's all right. But there was nothing more hype than that marketing ever. It was so
great.
You
loved it. Yeah,
I
yeah.
freaking loved
it. You made
that.
A million videos about it.
Well, no, that was actually for later. Apologies. So then for Wii U, they didn't do the same thing, but they used Miiverse, and every day they posted screenshots. So it wasn't something new being revealed. It was just different screenshots. And sometimes there'd be something in the screenshot. We're like, oh, it's a new level. Or, oh, that character's in this, I guess.
Gotcha.
And so that's what I did all the breakdowns for. And that wasn't quite as long of a run-up as Brawl had, but Brawl also got delayed. For this, we're going to get this game probably in September. I bet that there won't be that style of thing at all. I think that we're going to learn a lot at E3.
Yeah.
I think that at E3, we're going to know majority of the characters in the game. I wouldn't be surprised if throughout the Smash Invitational that they're doing, they show off pretty much every character that was in Wii U. I think that 90 to 100% of the characters are going to be brought back.
Okay.
And we're going to see a couple newcomers, and there will be some surprises that we won't know until the game ships. But I think E3 is going to be the last big blowout for this game.
Okay.
And then boom, we're going to get it. And it's going to be awesome.
I can't wait. Because that's just what killed, you know, we used at IGN. I was never invited because we weren't friends yet. But you guys played Smash every afternoon, you know what I mean? And I would love to have been a part of that, but I wasn't invited. You know, Mike Pereira was my friend.
I mean, the classic Greg Miller fashion, people don't get invitations. You could have just walked over and picked up a controller.
But then then they put it on Wii U, and we just sent it out to die. Nobody wants to play Wii U, you know what I mean? Nobody wants to play Wii U.
Oh, my God, that was so wrong.
It's such a pain in the ass to plug in and do all
this stuff. We played the shit
out of that one. Not here, we don't.
No, not here.
When we get Smash on Switch, we're putting Smash time on the thing. That's going to be on the calendar every day.
I'm into that.
5 to 5:30, Smash time.
Okay.
Yeah, it's more about PlayStation 5. I feel like we've talked that to death already on the show, right?
We had a good conversation.
All right, let's go to Christian Nava, who wrote in to kindoffunny.com/KFGD and says, how challenging is it to preview games? What's good, Tim and Greg? Yesterday, Tim was trepidatious when he gave his early Kingdom Hearts 3 impressions, and that got me thinking. Preview games is not easy, right? Do any of you recall previewing a game, thinking it was awesome, just to be disappointed later on? What about the opposite? Feeling underwhelmed by the preview of a game that ended up being awesome? Speaking of awesome, thanks for all you do. Remember to cuddle that chicken when you finish making sweet love to it. Regards from Spain, Chris. I didn't think you were that trepidatious yesterday, but it is that this didn't feel right, this felt great, I'm still hyped, I'll see where it goes.
Yeah, Kingdom Hearts is such a hard thing to talk about, and I appreciate the people that were nice to me in the comments yesterday.
Were people mean to them?
Yeah, there were some people that were, but I mean, I understand that, because people care a lot about, the fandom for Kingdom Hearts is strong, and I said some things yesterday that I admit might have seemed inflammatory, talking about like
Mickey sucks.
The story. Like I said nobody plays Kingdom Hearts for the story, and the comments corrected me. A lot of people do.
Kind of like when Eminem said, nobody listens to techno.
Yes, but the people do.
Yeah.
Yeah. What I should have said is that I don't care for the story in Kingdom Hearts. And whatever. If you're going to know if you're going to like this game before it comes out.
Mm-hmm.
But to answer the question about previewing games, I hate previewing games.
Mm-hmm.
Almost always. With the exception of things that are more arcade style pick up and play, where it is just kind of
got this and this is how it's going to be for
a perfect example is when Tony Hawk's Pro Skater 5 was announced.
Mm-hmm.
And we all know how that turned out.
Yeah.
But I was so excited to get my hands on it because I wanted to see how it played.
Yeah.
Got to do a preview and I'm like, cool, now I know that I'm not going to like this. But I knew.
Yeah.
Smash Brothers is another perfect example. I can't wait to play Smash 5, whatever it's called, at E3, because everything I just talked about how fast it feels or whatever, my questions will be answered there. You know, and you need to get your hands on the game to understand that. Just watching a video or reading doesn't give you the same sensation. But I don't really like doing the whole, hey, play 2 hours of this game. Like, all right.
Putting a note on my thing there. Book Smash Brothers appointment for E3.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I gotta do that.
Yeah, let's definitely.
I've been worried about live show stuff and like, you know, appointment demos and stuff, and there's no, you know, whatever.
Yeah. They wanted me to be a part of the tournament and I can't do it.
Why not?
Because we're flying.
Oh, it's on Tuesday?
Yeah.
Just go early. I can handle Nintendo.
No,
I'm kidding. That's not how you want to do it. Yeah, I mean, you're right. It happens. It's rare, I think, that you get not duped, but like knocked off course and don't know if something's going to be good or bad. I mean, the examples that spring to mind of a game that I thought was awesome and then wasn't, Mass Effect Andromeda. Went to EA, played the first main section or something on a PC that was running great and didn't have bugs and had great shaders and all this. And I was like, oh my God, it is Mass Effect. This is going to be great. And you get the game and it's not that at all. And it just doesn't live up to it. The opposite way of a game that I'll never forget this, leaving. We left the demo room at IGN with a young Anthony Gallegos.
Huh? Arkham Asylum.
Yep, Anthony Gallegos. And Anthony, who I barely knew, he's working for GameSpot, I think, turned to me and he was just like, that was cool. And I was like, was it? Like, they came in, rock steady. Okay, I've never heard of you guys, but that's no big deal. Showed us, and I'm a DC fanboy number one, of course. So I see this thing and I'm like, I've been burned so many times, I refuse to get excited for a DC game. And they show me this disjointed demo that goes from, cool, it's just like button mash this thing and you beat the shit out of like 30 guys. All right, that's cool. Like, is it deeper than just that? To then, all right, now swing around the gargoyles and don't hit anybody. Don't touch. And I was like, what the fuck is going on? Like, you weren't sure how it was going to turn out. And then, of course, got that game, brought it home. I was like, oh, fuck, this is amazing when I reviewed it. So it happens. I think most of the time, though, you play it and you get a pretty good sense of what it is and how it's going to pan out, right? Like State of Decay, right? I was talking about that yesterday on this show. But when I went and played State of Decay 2 at GDC and then played it here, I was like, yep, it's more State of Decay. Cool. Yeah. That's, you know.
I guess Amplitude is another example of a game that I was super excited to get my hands on because I was like, oh, you did it right. Because there was other music games in the past. Like I loved Guitar Hero and then playing Rock Band, I was like, ooh, I don't like how this feels on the guitar compared to Guitar Hero.
Gotcha. Time to squad up. This is where one of you writes into kindoffunny.com/KFGD. Give me your name, username, and platform of choice. I read it here. The best friends come and find you, and everybody has a good time. We're going to squad up with Mike Sampson today on the Xbox One. His Xbox username is XMSampsonX. I'm looking for more friends to play Sea of Thieves with. The majority of players I come across either do not have a microphone or are complete jerks that intentionally ruin the session. Looking for more mature cooperative players that will communicate amongst each other. If you're playing Sea of Thieves and you want somebody cool to play with, hit up XMSampsonX. That's all one word. They'll do it. Tim, I see you're doing the right thing. Getting ready for kindoffunny.com/you're wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Before you do that, we have a new segment. Ooh. It's called Let's Make an Instagram Video for Josh. Josh writes in to kindoffunny.com/KFGD and says, new to your podcast and loving it. Off topic question. Any chance you could turn the camera around so we could see what it is you guys are looking at? Not sure if that's been done before. If you already did it, what podcast number? Thanks for all you do and keep up the great work, Josh. Josh, I'm sure we've done tours and stuff before, but I don't think on Games Daily we've ever done it. So I'm going to make this video and put it up on Instagram.com/kindoffunnyvids. I'm going to give kindoffunnyvids this video, all right? So here we go, all right? You ready?
Mm-hmm.
All right, Tim.
Yes.
We're recording Kind of Funny Games Daily right now.
Yes, we are.
You can see the clock right there, meaning that's where I'm actually showing. But you see, that's it. And then over here, we have a new segment called Let's Make an Instagram Video for Josh, because Josh wants to see what we're seeing. Because Josh usually sees this farther out,
the wall.
And better camera. Yeah. Well, us and then the wall, right? Mm-hmm. So he doesn't know that when you spin around like that, that's what it looks like. We got all these empty chairs there that Nick
Show
hates.
Show him the mic.
We got a new microphone there that we were really stoked about that it'll make an appearance in party mode on June 1st. Got TV there, other stuff here, garbage there, a whiteboard. But yeah, I see that. Cool, Greg, wave your hand. See, that's how far people are over there. That's why I'm always like, I can't see Kevin. We have the cameras there and the clock there, that stuff. That's scaffolding. All right. Thank you, Josh. All right. Tim?
Yes.
We asked people watching live on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames to go to kindoffunny.com/you're wrong and tell us what we screw up as we screw it up. What did we screw up today?
We did pretty well today.
Hell yeah.
There's some editorializing, but I appreciate it. Okay. X-Men 2K2 says, not that you're wrong, you can get a 20% off PSN code by going to live.playstation.com and watching a 90-second video.
Oh, okay. That's good.
So that sounds like a good deal of the day. And then Kebab says, missed context. Jason Schreier reported on Kotaku that Sony boss John Kodera specifically stated that the next PlayStation is, quote, 3 years away. So that's interesting.
Yeah. Okay.
And that's it.
So he's saying yesterday's thing didn't cover that? When we were talking about it? The March stuff?
3 years away. I don't know.
Okay. Because like that's how math works, right? 2018 plus 3 is 2021. But okay.
Wow.
Anyways, I'm putting up Love You, Josh, and doing that. And I'm going to put a heart here. Instagram.com/kindoffunnyvids. And okay. I'm hitting okay. Why is it like this sometimes, you know?
Man.
There you go. Ladies and gentlemen, that's Kind of Funny Games Daily. Remember, each and every weekday on a variety of platforms, we run you through the nerdy video game news you need to know about. If you like that, be part of the show, kindoffunny.com/KFGD. Watch it live on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames. Watch it later on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames. Or listen on podcast services around the globe. No matter where you get the show, if you enjoy it, please consider going to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. Kick us a buck or two to show we're doing a good job. Tomorrow, I'm joined by the Reverend Jaron Petty. But until then, it's been our pleasure to serve you.